specials today, especially in the choir did a great job with Declare His Glory. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to declare the glory of the Lord, not declare our own glory. And that's sometimes we're selfish in our motives and what we think we need to get across, but declaring His glory to all the nations. And then Just a Sinner Saved by Grace, what a great old song. And then also, how can we reach a world that we never touch? Think about that. That's just, it's pointed, and it's something that we need to hear. But the reality is, now, where in the Bible does it tell lost people to come and hear, get saved, go come and hear the gospel? I mean, it does tell the believers, forsake not the assembly of believers, but nowhere does it tell all the lost people to come on into church and hear the truth. Now it tells us, go out, go out, go out, over and over. It says it, for the furtherance of the gospel. So I know it's not in the backdrop today, but you do have the banner that's been put up. It's the furtherance of the gospel to go out. And so that's what we're supposed to do, is go out. And this gets an interesting question. How can we reach a world that we never touch? If we never, ever reach out to people, how will they ever hear? And today we're going to talk about a personal thing, which is stewardship. And once again, I know last week we heard about the widow's mite. We talked, and it was more the motive behind the mite than about finances. But today we're going to talk about stewarding the truth. And we want to look at things from a different perspective. If you didn't get to hear Sunday school class, I would encourage you to go hear Sunday school, because I think Sunday school is going to be better than it was this morning, just because I like the topic. And I've never preached on the thought about stewarding our church family. And it's so important, so much of a key is church. What does it look like? And when you look at it, things from God's perspective, tonight we're going to talk about stewarding from God's perspective. We're going to look at some different principles. I mean, does it really matter what we think? I mean, it's all about what God thinks, right? I mean, that's what the reality is. Sometimes, you know, people don't see church that way. Sometimes people don't see truth that way. Sometimes they don't see their treasure, their time, their thoughts. They view things from a perspective of how it looks from our own. But in reality, if this is God's church, I know I love my church Sunday. I know we use the word my because we want to say we're possessive about it. But I think we all know and we all understand it's God's church, and we're part of God's church. And here, this local called out assembly of believers and this independent Baptist Church. You know, we love our church, but it's the Lord's church. It's God's church. It should look the way that God wants it to look. This does not matter how we think it should look. It should look the way that God wants it to look. And God brings different things and different trials and different things. I'm not going to re-preach Sunday school lesson because by some of you would leave because you already heard it once. So we're not going to re-preach that, but encourage you, if you were not here, you're part of our church, listen to this morning's Sunday school lesson about stewarding our church. And even if you didn't get to hear it all, maybe you had to leave early or something like that, it should be online. And it's something the Lord really helped me with. And I want this church to be exactly what God wants it to be. And I think that should be our prayer request. God, do whatever it is you want at our church, that it would look like what you want. It's your church. But the only way that ever happens, the only way that will ever happen in our life, if it's filled with people that say the same thing. God, I want you to do what you want in my life. God, it's not my life. I've been bought with a price. So God, if we have a church that's filled with people that says, God, whatever it is you want, I'm up for whatever it is you desire, Lord, that's what I want. We'll have a church that's open for the same thing. And we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, those churches of Macedonia were lifted out of the scriptures as an example, the church of Corinth, and just a lot of wonderful, powerful truths. Now today, we're going to come and we're going to look at this idea of being a steward. And we're not going to spend a lot of time explaining what a steward is. More instead, we're going to be looking at if I had my notes, we'd be looking at it. That's okay. Once again, we're using a PowerPoint today. Who needs notes? So, of course, I grabbed the wrong ones. There they are. Don't worry, it's a number of pages, but it's just a PowerPoint slide for the most part. So, stewardship. It's when we have been given something to manage. We've been given something to take care of. A steward is one who spends by investment. I don't know how many people invest through a stockbroker or in stocks, but you give a stockbroker some money, you expect for them to invest it, you expect them to invest it properly, and hopefully you're going to receive some gains. I know the stock market's been up and down, but if you gave somebody some money to invest something, and if you turned around and they took that money and they didn't invest it, instead they used it for themselves, would you be upset? Of course, right? What first thing you're doing is firing the stockbroker. Second thing you're doing, you're probably calling somebody at the Better Business Bureau or calling the police. You know, we've seen those things happen before. But when it comes to stewardship, God has given us something special. And God is, and if you look on there, if you want to keep track of what we're going through, it talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, God has entrusted believers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think we got to go back a little farther than that. We got to go all the way back to Genesis, as I mentioned in Genesis chapter number 2. And it's more of a topical message, and we have a lot of verses we're going to cover and a lot of area we're going to try to cover. So with those things, we want to make sure that we want to make sure you are following along and be able to keep up, because like I said, we have a lot we want to cover, but at the same time, we want you to be able to follow along with this. So if we gave our investor something and we said, hey, this is my money, I want you to invest it in this stock. If the investor said, I think you're crazy, I'm going to go invest it over here, and they end up losing you money, you would want to hold them accountable. So it's all about who owns it and how things look. If God is the owner of this world, and God has created us, he's given us life, he's given us a special gift, and as a believer and a Christian, the Bible says we're bought with a price, glorify God with our bodies, which is not ours. They're not our own. So if this is not our life, it's God's life. We've been giving this as a steward to do these different things. This past Sunday night, I mentioned there was a breakdown of 70 years, how 70 years is spent. Each day is 24 hours. There's 1,440 minutes. There's 86,000 seconds in each day. If you lived 70 years, which was the average life, and also the life that's mentioned in the Bible, span that's mentioned in the Bible, there you spend 23 years sleeping, 16 years working, 8 years watching television, 6 years eating, 6 years traveling, leisure time, 4.5 years, illness, being sick, 4 years, dressing, 2 years. I said the joke last Sunday night, unless you're a lady, then it probably takes 4 years, because ladies take a little bit longer to get ready, but they look a lot nicer than the guys, don't they? And we appreciate them taking that time. And religion, 0.5 years. Now, if you're a Christian and you've been bought with a price and you understand stewardship and you understand the responsibilities you have, that 0.5 years is going to explode. Because the whole purpose of our life, this is what we're going to look at today, is this thought, I belong to the Lord. If I belong to the Lord, there's something I should be doing. So first thing I want you to see here is who we are. And I think you got to go all the way back to, doesn't want to click, Coleman. Oh, there it goes. We went too far. There we go. Okay, good. Thank you, Coleman. So when you come in there, God's signature masterpiece, God created everything. But there's something he did different inside a human. And we find that in Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So until we understand this, until we understand that life is a gift from God, how many times have we read through that passage and we thought, so what's the big deal? The reality is, as we consider this, we get a glimpse of the incredible moment where God created his masterpiece of human life. God literally formed Adam from the dust, and then he breathed his own breath into Adam's nostrils. God is the master artist. Human life is a signature creation. And understanding the beginning of life is significant if we really, truly want to understand how we should steward our life. Now, we're talking about stewarding truth, and we're going to get there at the end. But before we can really understand stewarding truth, we must understand how precious life is. Life is precious. We are God's masterpiece creation. And with that, he has made us an eternal soul. God is something that lasts forever. God is eternal. He has no beginning, no end. He had no maker. So if we are the signature masterpiece, then why is life so special? And the reason why we see here in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And until we understand the value of this gift of life, we are prone to squander it. You say, well, everybody has life. Everybody has years. Everybody has time. Okay, but where did you get it from? Did you create yourself? And the answer is no. Oh, you say, Mom and Dad, I understand that. But at the same time, God is the one that's the giver of life. God is the one that has made life so special. And our life is purposely created by God. If you look in there in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5, he was telling Jeremiah, I formed thee before I formed thee in the belly. I knew thee before thou camest forth out of the womb. I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He says, I knew who you were before you were ever formed. I had a plan. I had a purpose for your life. So if God is the giver of life and we are his masterpiece creation, life is special because God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And it's important to remember that as we steward the time he's given us. Not only that, you see the sovereignty and blessing. You say, well, what do you mean that by that? Well, there is different times in the Bible where there was women who wanted to have children but could not. And God was sovereign in that. And here in the story, you see in Genesis chapter 18, it's talking about Sarah. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall of surety bear a child, which am old, is anything too hard for the Lord? At this appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, Sarah had gone past the age of bearing children. She had gone past that stage of life. And God had said, hey, Sarah's going to have a child. Sarah laughed. And the question is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, it's not just in Sarah's occasion. There was different people like Hannah and also Elizabeth who it seemed as if their wounds were barren. They had been closed up. And God was the one that opened their wounds in special times and special places for special reasons to do a special purpose. So what does that have to do with anything? Well, God is sovereign. If God has made us and he has created us and he's got a plan and a purpose for his life, we got to remember that God is sovereign and God is the one that gives us the blessing. So if God has created us and allowed us to be born, that means that he has a purpose and a plan for our life. God is sovereign over the length of life also. King Hezekiah was dying and the prophet says, hey, go ahead and get your house in order. And it says he prayed and he sought the Lord and the Lord gave him 15 years. So he's the one that gives life. He's the one that takes life away. He's the one that determines how long we live. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? We are stewards of this. This is all a gift from God. Once again, we know that we're his masterpiece creation, and we know that he's got a plan and a purpose, and he's the one that blesses. He's the one that gives life. He's the one that takes away life. He's the one that makes the length of life. Let's keep on going. Let's think about the next thing is you're living for a purpose. So we remember all these things. If we're going to steward the truth of the gospel, we must understand from the beginning, God made us. He's got a plan and a purpose for us. He's the one that tells how long we're going to live, how long we're going to be here, whether we're going to be born or not born. And he says, in this world, we have a purpose. In Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, probably is not some people's famous or most favorite verse, but it puts things in perspective of why we are here. Look what it says in Revelation 4, 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy, what's that next word? Pleasure. For thy pleasure, they are and were created. So the Bible's saying here is that we were not created for our own pleasure. Even when we were saved, we were bought with a price. What are we supposed to do with our lives? Glorify God with our body and our spirits, which are God's anyway. So if we've been bought with a price and if we were created for God's pleasure, he said, oh, no, God created me so I can live my life whatever way I want it. That's not found anywhere in the Bible. Now, we are told that way. You can do whatever you want. Do whatever makes you happy. And we're fed those lies over and over. But that is not biblical Christianity. It's not. It's not found in the Bible. It's something that has been drummed up by society to make ourselves feel good and tell people, hey, do what you want. Instead, the Bible says, hey, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, take up your cross, follow after me, learn of him. And what did he do? He was somebody we can learn from. He was the greatest steward ever. What do you mean? He had only a short period of time. What do we learn? Even as a boy, what does he tell his parents? I must be about my father's business. Everything he did was always about the father's business. He laid down his life on the cross. He went through all these different things, all about the father's business, over and over and over. He had a purpose to come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as a steward, he took every moment and every time. And he says, I want to do what the father wants me to do. So we see here that we have a purpose for our life. To attempt to live apart from God and for our own purpose is foolish and is futile. As long as we view ourselves independently of God, we will fill our days trying to pursue and self-made dreams. We will never, ever live our lives to accomplish the purpose why we were created if we try to live independent from God. If we try to say, I don't have to consider myself a steward of this life, I'm not going to be accountable to God, we're going to waste it. And that's the things that we see here as a steward. There's a couple different stewards. There's the steward that squanders opportunities. They got an opportunity and they don't worry about it. They just do whatever they want instead of taking care of it. If I asked you to take care of my dog, I have a little dog at home. Her name's Fluffer. She's 16 years old. If anybody wants her, you can have her. You just got to convince my wife. She's 16 years old. She is a sweet dog. She's been a great dog. She's just getting older. And so if I asked you to take care of my dog and you didn't take care, you didn't feed her, you didn't let her out, all those other things, and she ended up dying, you squandered the opportunity and the privilege you had or what we asked you to do. And that's what people are doing with their lives. They're squandering it. They're throwing away. Hey, I can do what I want. I can do this. I can do that. What's the big deal? It's my life anyway, isn't it? The answer is no. No, we were created for what? And it says there, created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. That's our purpose for life, is to bring pleasure to the Lord. Jesus further commissioned to bring glory to God by telling other people about the great gift of salvation, which we're going to look in a little while. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to live for God's glory by spreading the message. And the exciting part of living for the glory of God, it's the purpose we know that will be fulfilled. God will receive glory. It says in Numbers 14:21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. It's going to happen someday. And it's our job as stewards to live our life. How can I bring glory to God? What is it I can do? Because the Bible says whether you're eating or drinking, right? I know that's not an exact quote. Whatsoever you do, do all to what? The glory of God. This is our purpose for living, is to bring glory for God. I know some people look in and say, well, my grandchildren are my purpose for living. It's not biblical. I mean, it's nice. Oh, my children are, my husband, my wife. Now, inside being a good steward, we do all those things. And as we biblically lead them and guide them and show them examples and guard our testimony and give them the truth, yes, that can all bring glory to God. But when you put a child above God, when you put a mate above God, when you put a grandchild, even great-grandchildren, before the Lord, what's it become? An idol. And what are we supposed to do with idols? We're supposed to get rid of them. It's hard, but it's truth. Next thing is, there's an individual design in the master's plan for each of us. We're all created with the same purpose, to glorify God. But God has given each of us a unique set of desires, aptitudes, and gifts to creatively fulfill our purpose. Even as your fingerprints are distinct from every other person, you so personally have a set of opportunities and gifts that are unique to you. And we go back to that verse in Jeremiah 1:5. That was God's plan. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Once again, Jeremiah had a unique calling upon his life. As a prophet, he was someone who preached, someone who prophesied 40 years. Didn't hardly see any converts, if he saw any. And what a miserable life. He's known as a weeping prophet, but that was God's plan. That was God's purpose. Even one time he talked about giving up, not going to speak the word, but it was something inside him that just made him preach the word. That was God's purpose for his life. And I want to encourage you today that each of us have an individual design with a unique set of opportunities, a unique set of gifts, a unique set of talents that God has a plan and purpose for you specifically to do. It's amazing. For instance, God hasn't called any of you to pastor this church. He's called me to. That's my opportunity. Now, some people think that they could pastor it better. Some people think that they try to pastor it. And maybe they try to pastor it better. And I'm not picking on people. I'm just saying that it's not my job to try to be the head of your household. As a pastor, I have a certain responsibility. I have a gift. I have the opportunities. It's not my job to do this or do that. We have all these different responsibilities. And we have individual designs that God has made us in a specific way. God didn't design us to have cookie cutter lives. He has given each Christian a big picture. Your mission to glorify him. Here it is. I want you to bring glory to me. The way you bring glory to me is by bearing fruit. And how do we bear fruit? And that's the idea we're going to get to. The next thing is the greatest gift. The greatest gift. Not only did he breathe life into our nostrils, and we're all here today, we're all breathing. Some of us are snoring because we're sleeping, and we all have breath that we have. And then with that breath, God has said, I have a purpose for your life. I want you to bring glory to my life. I've designed you specifically and on purpose for this specific thing I want you to do. How do we redeem the time? By finding out what the will of the Lord is. That's how a good steward works. Let me find out what God's will is for my life and let me do that. And then he gives us something called eternal life, the greatest gift. God is sovereign and only over this giving of life, but also the conclusion of our earthly life. No matter how well we steward our days on this earth, the most important issue is that we settle where we will spend eternity. He has given us the greatest gift, the perfect gift. It's eternal life. And we bring this here because you say, well, Pastor, I don't agree. I don't see why God's so important. I don't understand why I have to steward my life. It's because you probably never received the gift of eternal life. You've never understood the grace of God. When you hear those sing, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And you're thinking, okay, we're all sinners, but not all of us are saved by grace. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he's offering this greatest gift, and many people believe that the eternal life is something we earn, but that's completely untrue. No matter how hard you work, no matter how many talents you have, no matter how much you give, the Pharisees tried and tried and tried and tried. And Jesus looked at him and said, ye must be born again. It's something we must come to this realization and understanding. Eternal life is the greatest gift, but it only comes from putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that sin has a penalty to pay. That there is a wage. The wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God forever. But then you have, but the gift of God. Don't you love the buts in the Bible? I love it when it says, but God commendeth his love toward us. And there are so many different times, but God, over and over. Everything looked bleak. Everything looked bad. We're all headed to a horrible place called hell. But God commended his love toward us, and that's why we are as sinners. Christ died for us. If we're going to be a steward of this world and a steward of this life, we must do what God would want us to do. And the thing he wants us to do is to believe in him. The Bible says it's not willing that any should perish. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believe what the Bible says. Believe what the Bible says, that we must repent and by faith believe and trust in him. Turn to God. Believe and trust in what he has done and his way of salvation. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, as you see up there, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning, the greatest thing you could do, the most wonderful thing you could do with your life, being a steward, is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Are you saved this morning? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Who cares? I mean, who really cares about the 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years you lived in this world if you're going to spend all of eternity apart from God? It's not worth it. It's being a bad steward. You're squandering the opportunity. Don't squander the verses you've heard today. Don't squander the preaching you've heard today. Get right with God. Believe in God. Have faith and trust in God. God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son to pay our sin debt for us. Today, will you squander the opportunities? I know there were times in my life as a boy, I went to church my whole life. You say, a whole life? Yes. 9 months before I was born, I was in church. And for all my life, except for maybe 6 months to a year, I was a four-person church night for four people, for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And for about 6 months to a year, I didn't go as much on Sunday nights. I made up some excuses. Wanted to watch football. And isn't that sad? Give up the opportunity to go to church, watch football. The year I stayed home to watch the Steelers play in the Super Bowl, they lost. Next week's Super Bowl, and I think it's next week's Super Bowl, and I make my joke. I say to him, I know some of you don't like the joke. I says, hey, the Steelers lost because I stayed home and watched the Super Bowl. And then my friend who is a Cowboys fan said, hey, well, don't you think some Cowboys fans stayed home to watch the Super Bowl? And I says, I don't know any Cowboy fans that would go to church. So That was a joke. Yeah, ha, ha, ha. He thought it was funny, too. Of course, Calvary fans go to church. We have a few that's here. And it's the idea there that I gave up certain things. I didn't steward my life. I didn't steward my time. I mean, it's amazing how I would put other things. And I do the same thing today. It's a stewardship that I must understand. This is not my life. It belongs to the Lord. It's, he breathed breath into my life. I did nothing to create myself. I've done nothing to plan. And he's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got all these things, and he offers us this great gift of eternal life. So now, what am I supposed to do with my life? And that's what that's kind of a little bit of an introduction for stewardship, but your role as a steward. Think about and there's a ton of verses that are talking about stewardship in the Bible, but moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found what? What are we supposed to be? Faithful, right? We're supposed to be faithful. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. He desires that we be faithful. And I think that's more than just being dependable. I've met many, many, many unsaved people that can be dependable. Not in the work of the Lord, obviously, but I've met people that have worked hard all their lives and they've been super at this and they've been super dependable and they've been faithful to their family. They've been dependable to this, dependable to that. I've met lots of people that can be dependable. But what he's talking about being faithful means that we're filled with faith also. If we're going to be filled with faith, we are going to be dependable on. I'm not going to be skipping church. I am not going to be skipping out my duties. I'm going to try to be a steward of the life that God's given me. So our role as a steward is to be faithful. But also, look what those verses underneath there says. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, meaning that you're paying attention, not as fools. You got to be foolish, but as wise. And where do we get wisdom from the Lord? Redeeming the time. Why do we need to redeem time? It's because we don't have much time. Remember, if it's only 70 years, you only have a certain number of years. And we waste a lot of time with the eating and the entertainment and all those other things that we read earlier because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise. But here it is. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is God's will for your life? That is what the key is to being a good steward. Finding out for the person who owned it, the person who created it, the person that has a plan for it, the person that's done all these things. What is it that God wants with my life? And that's to say, okay, God, you've given me this life. You have allowed me to be born. You have allowed this person to have me, and I'm here in this world, and I understood the truth. I received the truth. I know I'm a believer. I've been bought with a price. I understand my life's not my own. So, God, what is it that you want with my life? If we would just ask that question. We just say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, I want to hear from you. This morning in Sunday school class, that was the beginning prayer. Lord, just speak to my heart. That's what our prayer should be. Come to church. Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you when the singing goes on. I want to hear from you through the fellowship. I want to hear from you on what to give. And I want to hear from you when the preaching is happening. What is the message you have for me, Lord, today? Please give me that message. Our role as a steward. We've received truth over and over sometimes. And we must remember that we should steward the truth that we've heard too. So today we're going to look at this thought, stewarding truth. So very quickly, and once again, I know what you're thinking. It's already a little bit late, and I'm already just getting to these points, but it won't take long. But these are not things that are unusual. These are not things that are uncommon. These are all things that we've heard before. These are all things I've probably said before. But it's important to remember, God has given us an opportunity. God has given us truth. God has given us his word. God has given us things that we can be steward of. You know, for instance, I mentioned this earlier, and I know you said, Pastor, you're just trying to get rid of those last 400 postcards. It's not about that. It's looking at it from a bigger picture. What does God want to do in our church? What does God really want to do with your life? Does he really want you to spend your life never telling anybody about Jesus Christ when he was willing to send his son to die on the cross for us? Does he really not want us to reach a world that we never care about touching when he spent a good portion of his word saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel? Look what it says here in Matthew 25, 21. That's the wrong one, isn't it? No, it's not. So we'll get to the next one here. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We need to steward the truth. And that's what it's saying here is in Mark. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he desires for us. He wants us to go. That's when we talk about furtherance of the gospel. That's what our theme is for the year. Why is that? Because we don't. You say, Pastor, you get tired of just hearing it over and over. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Is it something he wants? Has he given us truth? He has. Has he given us the gospel of Jesus Christ? He has. What does he want us to do with it? It says right there, and he said, And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And what is the gospel? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Did he give us all that so we could keep it to ourselves? No, the answer is he has given us all that so we can go out and tell others. Now, what we need to do is try to live with the end in mind. A couple of things the Lord spoke in my heart about this week. One I shared yesterday in our men's prayer meeting, but eternity. We sang in the men's prayer meeting yesterday, Amazing Grace. That's one of my favorites. And it says, you know, about the 10,000 years. I began thinking, boy, 10,000 years is a long time. We look around, we see people that are 100 years old, and we think, man, you're old. You've been around for a long time. That's a drop in the bucket compared to reality, compared to eternity. Is it really 10,000 years? Is it really? Brother Jim, you know, he's got that outgoing personality. He's over there instead of everybody else singing 10,000 years. Brother Jim's over there singing 10,000 trillion years. And he's like, yeah, that's eternity. Can you imagine how much focus we've put on these 70 or 80 years making ourselves happy when we will spend all of eternity just worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord and living in an amazing life? And he tells us, during this period of time, I've given you this life. Now I want you to lay up rewards that will last forever in heaven. I want you to live with eternity in mind. I want you to walk around, and I want you to see people as someone who's a lost soul or a soul that's going to heaven. I want you to spend your life thinking, okay, now how can I further myself and make myself better, or even consider my retirement? There's nothing wrong considering retirement, but we should have a greater focus on what eternity is going to look like. That person is going to spend his life either in heaven or hell. And I have the gospel that can help them. So I need to be a steward of what God's given me. And I need to share that with people. I need to offer things to people. I need to ask. You say, Pastor, I don't always feel comfortable talking to people. Okay, give your testimony of what happened to you. So I don't even know if I'm there yet. We need to pray that we get there. But that's why they have things like this, and they have things like tracks, so you can bring people so they can hear the truth of the gospel, because we need to live with eternity in mind. Don't live so short-sighted. We just live for here and now. We get upset with little things, little bumps in the road. It throws us for a loop, and we stop going to church, or we stop serving, or I'm not going to tell anybody about Jesus Christ anymore. And we've missed it. We're not a good steward. So today, when you're considering stewardship, begin with the end in mind. Consider his command. His first priority was his last command. Now consider, you say, Pastor, is this really my job? Look at what these verses say. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the hearts. So he's put us in trust. As a youth pastor, I had the privilege, and even as a pastor, I had the privilege of taking young people to camp, or junior campers to camp, or even activities. And I feel like when someone gives me their child to take care of them for a week, they entrust me with them. And I want to honor them by the way I know that they would want to be taken care of. And I want to treat them the way I hope that they would treat my child. I've been entrusted with them. And what's that verse saying? We've actually been entrusted with something. We've been entrusted with the gospel. And so, and it's a great verse, even so we speak, but look how we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God with tried the hearts. How often do we not give the gospel because we want to please man? Oh, they don't want to hear this. They wouldn't want me to give that. Well, if God wants us to give it, and then we should not be obnoxious, we should not be this or that, but at the same time, we care about the person who breathed life into our lungs, who gave us life, who gave us birth, who's allowed us to remain in this world, the one who's called us for a purpose and for a plan, the one who's given us the gospel. Why wouldn't I care more about what they think than someone who I might not ever see again? Or even more importantly, someone who I might really truly love. And then you think about it also, it says in 2 Corinthians 15:19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I have committed this unto you. I've given this for you to do, to tell the world how they can be reconciled. And so we see that he's given us something to do. How are we stewarding that? Not only is it something that's a steward, it's a wise investment. You say, Pastor, okay, so I go tell people about Jesus. What's the big deal? It's the wisest thing you can do with your life. Now, once again, I don't think we should have shortcomings when it comes to raising our children, our lives, stewarding our church family, all those different things. Me and my wife are currently reading through a book and make me regret how I could have done even more with my sons in order how to raise them and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm reading some of the things, oh boy, I wish I would have read that 20 years ago because it talked about discipling them personally and things like that. You know, it's the greatest investment we can make in our life. Once again, I know I think it's wonderful when the people that got in on Apple when it was really cheap, or GM, or all these other things that are exploding, Tesla, whatever, you know, all those different things. Those are wise investments you can make for things that are going to last 80 or 90 years. But we have truth. The great thing about the truth, it never goes out of style. It will be truth for all of eternity. We have that. Are we stewarding that? We've been given something so precious. I mean, so precious. What are we doing with it? Let us not squander the opportunities we have. It is a wise investment. The Bible says, he that winneth souls, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So this is the last slide. It's the sea fruit. If we're going to truly bring glory to God, we're going to do things his way. And the way we do that is by bearing fruit. You say, Pastor, I can't bear the fruit. And we know that. All we can do is be a witness. The Holy Spirit does the work. As we learned in that last verse, he that winneth souls is wise. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's the Holy Ghost that does the work. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. He's going to be that witness. And you see there, what brings glory to the Lord? I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. The person who's going to learn of Christ, the person who's going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, is a person that's bearing fruit, which means bringing other people to Christ, which means bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We wrap it all together is that we have been given something so wonderful, so wonderful. Are we stewarding it? Are we passing it out? Are we trying? And I love hearing your stories. I know a number of you have mentioned to me, I'm trying, Pastor. I hear them. I like the theme. I've been more bold this past month than I've ever been. Don't be discouraged if people don't come as quickly as you think they would. Because of the fact that we know that God is at work and God is always working. God is always moving. Be faithful. That's what he wants as a steward. You be faithful. Be filled with faith. Be dependable with giving these things out. Do your part. Don't just dismiss it. Remember, we want everything to be exactly what God wants us to be in our church. That only happens when we surrender our lives. I guess I told you there was a couple of things God kind of worked in my heart this week about. And the next one was sacrifice. And there was two questions. This is why I talked about the men yesterday. Am I really truly willing to sacrifice to help see people saved? And the next question is, what does sacrifice really look like? Last week with the widow's mite, she gave of her own personal daily needs that day to give to the Lord. I'm not saying she should have or shouldn't have, but the Lord lifted that out of Scripture and said, hey, take a look at that. I'm not telling you that's what you need to do. I'm telling you be as close to God as you can be and let him lead and guide you. We saw in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 that churches in Macedonia this morning in Sunday school class, he picked that up out of Scripture and looked at the church of Corinth and says, there's something you can learn there. Give yourself first. And as you give yourself, there's going to be, everything else is going to take care of itself. But I asked myself this question this past week, at least towards the end of the week. Am I really truly sacrificing to see people have the gospel, to further the gospel? Am I really truly sacrificing? And then I began to think to myself, well, you know, I do this and this and this. You know, I don't work a secular job. God called me to pastor. And because of that, I love it because it's what he called me to do. But at the same time, I'm sure that it would be easier doing something else. But then the Lord kind of spoke to my heart, do you really sacrifice? And he thought, has there ever been a day where I didn't provide myself of a daily need that I would normally have in order to accomplish something for him? Is there really times of prayer, seasons of prayer? Is there really fasting? Have I really truly given more than I really knew that I didn't know what God was going to do? Do I really sacrifice? And then I ask myself the next question. What really truly is sacrifice? David Livingston, who was a missionary and explorer, spent 33 years in the heart of Africa. He wrote this about sacrifice. People talk of the sacrifice I've made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called sacrifice, which is simply acknowledging a great debt we owe to our God, which we can never repay? It is emphatically no sacrifice. Rather, it's a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger, foregoing the common conveniences of this life, these may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink, but let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing compared with the glory which shall be later be revealed in and through us. I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice which he made who left his father's throne on high to give himself for us. Sacrifice. What does sacrifice look like? When we're not even willing to tell somebody the truth that God's given us. We think that's a sacrifice? That's an obligation. It's a commission. But we don't steward it that way. So there's a connection there. Am I really, truly willing to sacrifice? And hopefully the answer is yes. And the hard answer is, what is sacrifice? Is there something I need to get rid of? Is there something I need to do more of? Something I need to stop or something I need to start doing? What does sacrifice really look like? When's the last time I gave of myself just based? And I'm not talking about giving. Once again, people give. Our church has been a giving church. We've blessed in our missions. We've been blessed in our finances for the last number of years. We praise the Lord for all that. That has nothing to do with me. Sometimes had somebody says, you do a really good job with the finances. I said, it's not me. It's whatever the Lord wants. Had somebody ask me this week, where is all the money coming from? Because how small our church is. And I says, it's the Lord's got a hold of people's hearts and the Lord, the people give. And usually if people give as they're supposed to, the Lord takes care of everything else. And we're, I guess, but what is sacrifice? When is the last time I can really truly say I put myself out in order to just tell somebody about the gospel? Because handing this out, this is not a sacrifice. This is a privilege. Giving of myself. Am I being a steward of the truth that God's given me? I can say over my lifetime, I haven't been the best steward when it comes to the truth. I went preaching, yes. When it comes to other things, yes. But when it comes to really, here's the gospel, and I should tell others, I haven't been good at it as I should be. And I'm praying that the years ahead will be even better. That's why I love the theme, because the Lord laid it upon my heart so we can keep on making it. Ask this question every week. What did we do last week to further the gospel? Last 7 days, and I'll talk about you at the beginning of the month, the last 7 days, what did we do to further the gospel? Did we do anything? Take it a step farther. What did I sacrifice this past week? Because usually giving out a tract is not much sacrifice. Now it's breaking our comfort zone, but what did I sacrifice? What did I give up so I could have more time to pray, so I could have more time to tell, so I could have more time to surrender? What did I sacrifice last week for the gospel? Coming from a person who sacrificed so much for us, let a man account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, is required that a man be found faithful. This morning, are you being a steward of the truth that's God given you? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Don't waste this opportunity. Don't squander it. Turn to Him today. Let's pray.